The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. So glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events or a biblical perspective, and, what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? If you've got a question, that number to call again. We got some lines open, 888-ASK-CSN. Real simple. It's toll free. Love to talk to you because, again, how important it is that not only do you have a good answer for settle your faith, but when somebody asks you a question, you give them a good answer to settle theirs. And so, again, that number, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Look forward to visiting with you today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker here on CSN about an hour and a half after this program is over, Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Church, Dallas, Fort Worth. Hi, and welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Mike. And I can tell by the screen that you're in Hawaii, so I should say aloha. Of course, you're there suffering for Jesus like you do from time to time. And all I can say is, sometimes when somebody tells you something, you say, better you than me. But I can't say that now.
Well,
to be there.
It is kind of neat, you know. I think tonight we're going to go up and look at the volcano. And, it is interesting. The Bible talks about the lower parts of the earth, a place where there's heat. Then the Bible eventually talks about the eternal lake of fire. And, you know, I've never really seen a lake of fire before, but I guess when you look at a volcanic lava lake, I guess that's a pretty good indication that you might actually be looking at something, preview of what is to come. So, interestingly enough, we're gonna go check that out. And we've been, working on some of our stations over here. So it's always a good thing to stay afresh and, meet new people. Met with, community church there in Kona, meeting on the beach there, right off, Leah Drive, and really, really neat. Plus, Pastor Izzy there as well. So just a real good time of fellowship with everyone. And we just want to just encourage you, if you're ever over in these islands, a lot of good Christians here. Of course, you have Daryl Skinner in Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu. You've got a bunch of great fellowships here on the Big Island, Sure Foundation. There's a Calvary Chapel here as well. A lot of good fellowships on the Kona side. So just a good opportunity to bless one another. And just to, once again, you know, one of the neat things about visiting churches when you're on vacation or when you're out and around, you get to meet new people you're going to spend eternity with, Jeff, and that's a fun thing.
Exactly. And, if you should want to finance somebody to go there and start a new church, Mike, I'm here. And I can at least do a satellite church there. That would be great, a satellite Turning Point. I can envision that. Mike, I think I'm having a vision right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so, it's moving all over me.
It's always a blessing. But I found also oftentimes that, you know, and as I've been over here and have visited with a lot of the homeless people and things like that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're in a place where they experience winter 9 months out of the year or in Hawaii. if the emptiness is inside of a person's heart, it doesn't matter where your locale is at. It's what's inside your heart. And this is something that I think is really interesting. And I find a lot of people, as an example, I've talked to people that say, well, a lot of people move over here, you know, looking for that answer to the emptiness in their heart. And after 6 months or a year, they're disillusioned. They fly back home because, again, it isn't where you're at. It's what's in your heart. And that's why I believe, again, Jesus said there in John 3, you must be born again. Because what happens when we're born again? God settles that emptiness and the running from our sin. You know, I think this is why people get loaded. I think this is why people get stoned, why they get drunk. They're trying to run from the sins they can't erase. And I really believe that when God really changes a person, is gone. And now for the first time in their entire life, they're free to do what God has called them to do. And man, you just don't know what God's going to do in your life. So it's always a fun, great opportunity to see the great things that God does. But, once again, 8888 ASCSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And Jeff, you know, again, in Texas, you know, you're one of the fewer places in the United States that has pretty good weather year round. I imagine it's the same thing for people that have moved to Texas. You know, I talked to a lot of people moving to Idaho, moving to Texas, moving to Florida, trying to get away from the Soviet bloc states. It's really interesting when you go to an area where Actually, a lot of the oppression is gone, but still, if you're not born again in your spirit, that's where the tyranny continues because you're under a hard taskmaster and we know that person to be the devil. And so, there's an old Bob Dylan song that he wrote years ago, gonna serve somebody, gonna be the devil, it'll be the Lord, but you're gonna serve somebody. And that question is, who do you serve today? 8888 ask CSN. Is the number to call if you got a question. With that, we're going to go to Armenia, I believe it is. San Luis Obispo, hi and welcome.
Hello. Yes, I am glad that my call went through. I'm calling because I need special prayers for a small country. It's called Salvador.
Yes.
And it's because this country, you know, the government that we have right now, I live in San Luis Obispo, California.
Yes.
And the, you know, the type of government we have right now, they are trying to derail the president. The president is such a good president right now, doing a lot of good for the people. And, you know, it's a good president. I mean, it used to be good, like with, when President Trump was, you know, on office, they had good relations, you know. He just became a president. And then this party is trying to derail because he doesn't believe, you know, like on all the principles they believe in. And then the parties that mm-hmm. they lost, you know, which is the left and the right over there. I'm sorry, but the right is so corrupted. They're basically, both of them are the same evil. So
yeah, that's a real problem, Armenia. I mean, we see it in both groups. It is a truth. I always tell people, read Romans chapter 1. Find a political candidate that God says he'll bless. Stay away from those candidates which God says he will not bless. Again, it's all in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is probably the best voter guide that we could ever have. And again, when you really look up close at a lot of the things that have gone on, the pro-abortion stance of the current administration, which is horrific. I mean, you know, remember when Elizabeth met Mary, and the Bible says that John the Baptist, the baby leaped inside her womb. When we realize that those little babies are real people. And when a woman says, well, it's my body, my right. Well, that's true, but that baby is not your body. That baby is a whole nother person. And when we see the numbers of people that have been slaughtered you know, climbing towards 75 million abortions in America alone. And then I read in, you know, in the newspaper, we got a truck driver shortage. They need 85,000 truck drivers. Well, I wonder how many of those babies that were slaughtered might have been truck drivers. You always wonder about things like that. But how can we help you, Armini?
So, Pastor, what's happening is, you know what, the president that is right now, it's a president that is nobody with nobody, no party, but he is pro life and then everything that, you know, that this country doesn't believe in. And I didn't know that, you know, like U.S. controls what's going on in Central America, all the countries down that way, you know. So they are doing so much. Literally, the ambassador of, you know, from here to El Salvador, it used to be someone from Trump administration, but the Biden administration took it out and then put this evil lady there. She is so evil. And then she literally told the president if he doesn't obey their rules, that they're going to be he's going to be taken out somehow. So it's a lot of going on. And it's, I imagine they took the president from Haiti out, you know, and anyway, so, they are trying to derail that president, and he's in the presidency because God, you know, like a pastor told him, you know, you're going to be a president. He goes, how? Because I don't even have a party. They kicked me out because I was trying to do good. And then so he's doing so much good, and then they are like just throwing so much his way. You know, like countries around.
Armini, let me interrupt just for a second, Armini. I hear this in your voice, and it is sort of consternation about what is happening in El Salvador. But it reminded me, listening to you, of a verse in the Bible where Jesus is giving his Olivet Discourse. He's bringing to us the longest prophecy of his ministry. And one thing he says about the end times, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Distress of nations with perplexity. Now, words matter because God gave us all of these words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So perplexity, meaning what? Well, perplexity is from a Greek word, aporia, and it means anxiety or doubt, or to be tossed to and fro with no answer. And that's what's happening to nations literally all over the world. We're in a time period, a season that we believe to be the last times, the end times. And these end times are, we're seeing things that Jesus predicted. And one of them is we're looking at a whole world full of nations that are perplexed. They don't know what to do. They've got problems they can't solve. They go on TV and look right in the lens, the camera lens, and lie and make promises they know they can't keep, and you know, pretend to have answers they know they don't have, because we're in the end times. We are seeing literally perplexity of nations where people are going to and fro, tossed to and fro, and they don't know what to do. We're seeing leaders who are absolutely perplexed, dazed, confused, have no answers. The world is being rocked right now by problems that are far too big for any man to solve. And we believe here on CSN that we're not looking for Antichrist, we're looking for Christ, but there will come a man of sin, a man of lawlessness, the most demon-possessed individual in the history of the world. And he will take this perplexity, these perplexities that are just throwing nations back and forth, and he will bring answers that look like they're going to work. And that's one reason I believe we're seeing things like what is bothering you. Nations that are, you know, there's all these overthrowings of government and all these taking one person out, putting somebody else in. And like I said, nobody has the answers of perplexity. aporia, perplexity. And so I think, Armini, that this is one of the things that you're experiencing, and you're not alone. Millions of people are walking around in fear, anxiety, uncertainty, you know, getting drunk, using drugs, doing whatever they can to escape the fear and the pain of what we're experiencing. But Jesus said it would get so bad that men's hearts would be failing them for fear of what is coming out of the world. So these are the end times, Armini, and yet, thank God, Jesus Christ really does, no kidding, have the whole world in his hands. Mike?
Amen. Amen. I hope that helps.
So, yeah, you know what? What I was trying to say, Pastor, is that he's a man of God, the president. He's doing good. So I want prayers.
The president of El Salvador.
Yes. He is a man of God.
Right, because you say president, a lot of times people think Joe Biden, which actually he's very pro-abortion, which the Bible says is abhorrent to God. So we want to make clear of that. But no, we do want to pray for him and that the Lord gives him wisdom in navigating through these very troublesome times, not only for all of us as Americans, but what it's doing to the rest of the world as well. You know, when you see the things that are going on as of January, I believe January 1st or 5th, many people are very fearful they're going to lose their job because of all these insane mandates on vaccinations. The current administration actually declaring war on the American people. It is interesting that along the southern border, the border patrol agents have to have the vaccine, but the millions of illegal immigration going on require no vaccines. And so it's really pretty insane what's really happening. And no one really can figure this out, but there is a thought that many people have embraced, and that is the idea of divide and conquer. No longer are we all Americans for American, but actually it's becoming colonized. In other words, you have these different groups out there, no longer loyal to one nation under God, but now it is a bunch of fragmented little groups. Patriotism goes away because, after all, we're pledge allegiance to Mother Earth, as we had a call last week in one of the elementary schools in California, rather than to the United States. And so what happens then is it breaks the nation apart. And of course, the family unit is really the basis for any nation. But the American family has been so decimated by the culture, by Hollywood, by the lyrics and the songs on the radio, all these different things, that this is where the problems have come from. And then what once held us together as well, but nevertheless, we're still all Americans. Well, not anymore. I'm Afro-American. And they have all these different things, white America versus black. Hey, we're all Americans. See, and this is what it seems that the American news media and Hollywood is working overtime to destroy the unity that America has with each other, where we are reliant upon one another as well as God. And so it is a very, very sad situation when you really look at it. America becoming so polarized in so many different areas. But would it be all right if we prayed for you?
Yes, I appreciate it, Pastor.
Well, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We pray for Armini. We pray for El Salvador. We pray for the Christian president that is there. And we ask you that you would give him wisdom. Put good, godly men around him that will help him. Cause his eyes to be wide open. Lord, we come against this evil appointee as a representative of the United States to El Salvador. And we ask you, God, that you would give this man great wisdom and a great evangelical heart to reach out to the lost, as well as to reach out to his country. Thank you for Amini's heart. Bless him. And God, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Armini, stay on the line. We'll get you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
And the God of Wonders is 60 different languages available. When you put the DVD in, you can choose the language you want to listen to it in. It's a great evangelical tool. So you stay online, we'll get you fixed up. With that, we'll go to Ruth in Lancaster, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
I'm under so much oppression, and it's coming from Spanish speakers that are being used to be aggressive and harassing, and the church is supporting this, and then them learning through Seventh-day Adventist type people using the Spanish language to interpret scripture. I don't know how to they choose to value each other if they are Spanish speakers, and this is being used by the government, by the churches. By my neighbor just passed away, and because he had been harassing and slandering me and claiming that God's got his back and et cetera, and lying about what's going on because of the contamination of the water, and the cats are sick, and the drugs, and the things that are going on, they will favor them, even though because of wanting to take away the mobile homes that we're living in, they are causing the death of.
Well, I can't, dear. I can't really comment on that. Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, let's just focus for a minute on the Seventh-day Adventism. I don't think you are Seventh-day Adventist, right, Ruth? You're not.
My grandfather, my mother was raised, but then she converted to Baptist. But I didn't realize how
indoctrinated. Are you Seventh-day Adventist?
Pardon me?
Are you Seventh-day Adventist?
No, I'm not. And I'm not even Baptist anymore.
Okay, but you're saying that these Seventh-day Adventist Spanish speakers are leading a lot of people astray. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And because I can't read.
Are you there, Ruth?
What?
Hello, Ruth.
Go ahead, Jeff. Yes. And just,
okay, so
what would you say to that?
Well, the issue, I think she's feeling, what I'm sensing and listening, Ruth, if you can still hear me, is that you are experiencing spiritual oppression and some confusion about things. As far as Adventism, Seventh-day Adventism, I would, of course, you're not one, but I would certainly avoid it. They insist that you got to attend church on Saturday, which is the Sabbath according to the Bible calendar. But, I believe that every day is church day, and we go to the house of God anytime we want. And whether or not you go on Sunday or Saturday or Monday or Friday, the main thing is that you regularly go. That's what the New Testament emphasizes. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the habit of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we will note in that verse, he says nothing about what day. He just says, don't forsake the assembling together. So Ruth, we pray right now, Lord, that you will help Ruth, deliver Ruth, give her your peace, clear her mind up regarding these things. And we thank you, Lord, for settling her with a sound mind and a heart that is not vexed or oppressed any longer. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So thanks for calling, Ruth. And if
yes,
you're still
and,
there.
And stay online, Ruth. We'll send you out a couple of DVDs, a couple of books I think you'll really enjoy. And use them for evangelism, because, again, so many people in the world today need Jesus, and we want to do everything we can do to get the truth of the gospel out. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. With that, we'll go to Peggy in Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how may we help?
Okay, so here's my question. Jesus says nobody could get through to my Father but through me. And
right.
But everybody prays to God, and everybody says, God willing, and please, dear God, help me. Are they just using what is that? I mean, does that prayer not go through if you use that?
Okay, Jeff, your thoughts.
No, there's two things going on here. And if we go to break, when you're still there, Peggy, don't go anywhere because we'll come back to you after the break. But there's two things going on here. First of all, when Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me, he was talking about his coming sacrificial death, where he would shed his blood on behalf of every person on earth who turns to him by faith. So he's talking about his blood being the only way to be reconciled to God. There is no other way. No other spiritual leader, no other religion is ever going to get you through heaven's gates and into the presence of the Father but the shed blood of Jesus. So that's one thing he's talking about. But then once you're a child of God, having been born again by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, after you've repented of your sins and turned to Christ, after that, Jesus said, go to the Father in my name, and he will hear you. He said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Go and ask that your joy may be fulfilled. In the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But how do we approach him? We approach him in Jesus' name, in and through the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the only way for forgiveness and to get into heaven. But once we're children of God, we go right to the Father in his name, and the Father hears us. And that's the difference.
So I hope that sheds some light on it, because a lot of times we think, well, you know, maybe I didn't pray it exactly right, or I didn't, you know. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, understanding that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. But once we've gone through Jesus Christ, we have ready access to the Father, as he is our Father. We are his children anytime, day or night. Not a legal relationship, a love relationship. We're coming up on a break, everyone. We'll be back for more right after this.
Did you know that at just 40 days, a mom can hear her baby's heartbeat on ultrasound? The Ministry of Preborn introduces moms in crisis to their preborn baby, because the story of life begins at conception.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
When an expectant mother meets her baby on ultrasound, she is 80% more likely to choose life. Preborn clinics are the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and have rescued over 169,000 babies' lives. To learn how you can help rescue a baby's life, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible.
You're listening to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on almost 400 stations across the nation, including multiple stations in Texas. You can listen in Amarillo, in San Antonio, Odessa, Paris, and many more cities throughout the state. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Even when I'm lost, you take my hand.
Edifying the saints and evangelizing the world. Great Bible teaching. Equipping a worshiping church. This is CSN International.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with Jeff Wickwire. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. With that, we're going to go right back to the phones. But before we do that, well, once again, let you know, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Got a couple lines open if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Jerry in Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Hi, I was curious if you've heard anything on a program called Regeneration Ministries, and if so, what you think of it.
Where did you hear this program at?
Well, it's something that we're starting and kind of a part of, and I just don't know quite what to think at this point. And I was hoping that you guys had some input.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about Regeneration Ministries. Jeff, any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not super familiar with it. I do believe that it has to do with helping people with sexual issues, people with same-sex attractions, people with sexual addictions. At least the Regeneration Ministries I'm familiar with a little bit has to do with that. And just helping them into freedom from problems that revolve around sexuality. Now, I can't authoritatively speak on whether or not it's solid doctrinally, because I don't know. I haven't read anything bad about it, but I haven't read a lot about it either. So the best that I can say is I haven't heard bad. It seems like they're trying to listen. We're living in a morally insane culture. Let's face it. I mean, I guess if there was ever a need for something like a ministry dedicated to helping people out of sexual confusion and whatnot, boy, today would be the day, because our culture is truly, genuinely, morally insane. We're having little elementary school age children who can, you know, a little boy can decide he's a girl. And if he tells the teachers at the school that he's a girl, the teacher has to address him with female pronouns. And in some places, his parents even have to agree with it. There are Hollywood actors and actresses that literally are, when they have their children, are not naming them. They're waiting to name them until the child can learn to speak for themselves and then say, here's what I think I am, gender-wise, and then the parent will name them. This is true. I've read these stories. And, of course, we're not surprised that that comes out of Hollywood, where all kinds of loony stuff goes on all the time. But it's child abuse. Nevertheless, it's also a signal that we've morally lost our minds, and we need healing. We need the scriptures taught. We need clear, just straight up truth about gender and morality and what God's word teaches, because we're watching a nation go completely off the cliff in the moral arena. So I don't know, Jerry, if that helps or not, but that is what I do know.
Well, and the other thing is, Jerry, why do you ask the question? Is there something, a piece of doctrine or something you heard that causes the concern?
Well, we're actually starting it for addictions in place of another program, and so we're going into it as leaders and going through the 10-month program. But it's for all addictions. It's not just sexual. It's for if you have an addiction of gluttony, or if you just have you've given over to pride, or drug addiction, alcohol addiction, anything that anybody's having, and it deals with those issues all in one group setting. I was just hoping, because I'm kind of, I always look at scripture, and I can't find a scriptural basis for people confessing to sins that I feel have been forgiven, but there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with the program to me going through it so far. So I was just hoping you had some insight in the actual program.
It sounds a little bit like Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is the same kind of program dealing with addictions and right down to personality conflicts, marital stuff, but lots of people. And my church, we have a Celebrate Recovery program. And I'm going to tell you, Jerry, we've had incredible success with it. And I have seen all kinds of people delivered from alcohol addiction, drug addiction, but also other just relationship hangups and that kind of thing. And they have been gloriously set free. So maybe if you can compare it to Celebrate Recovery's curriculum and see if it resembles it, then you might be onto something good. I don't know.
So I hope that helps.
Yeah, no, it does. Thank you.
Well, God bless you, and stay on the line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs you perhaps can use in your recovery meetings. I think you'll really enjoy them. They're not talking heads. They're actually really well done, like you'd see something like from National Geographic, all great video cinematography. You'll really enjoy it. Stay on the line, Jerry. We'll get those out to you, and they'll be a blessing. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Albert, San Luis Obispo. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Good. Let me just turn this down real quick. 1 second. It's kind of a frustration type of thing. Okay. I'm just wondering why. Okay. After everything that's going on. Okay. Why are we even complaining about everything? Like, they're still going to give the illegal aliens all that money. They passed this bill, and now socialist, communist, pretty much everything. And now he wants to add. What is it? Doubling the IRS, and I think something else. And the poor, the working poor, the middle class, the homeless, we can't defend. We don't have the money to fight anything the IRS does to us. And,
no.
You know, I'm just trying to wonder why. I mean, why are the preachers not just preaching the end times? Because evidently it's here. And, you know, come to Jesus, stop sinning. Don't go to hell,
yeah.
You know, because, I mean, there's not going to be another Republican president unless we cheat like them. They're already starting to cheat again. You know, the Pope has photo ops with the president and Nancy Pelosi, the biggest and the supporters of killing God's innocent babies, unborn babies, and it goes on and on and on. And you know, and we just. That's what I can't understand.
Well, yeah. I think part of it is I think that to ignore it would be the only other solution to what you're saying, to just ignore it. And I don't see how rational thinking Christians can ignore the full-blown wickedness that our current administration is inflicting upon the United States and certainly Virginia. That was a throwback in the face. I mean, that was never a purple state. You know, listen to CNN, some of these others, you know, well, it was a purple state. No, it was never a purple state. That was a blue state, and people rejected what Uncle Joe was doing. Now, the reason why I think we need to talk about it, not focus upon it. I think what you're saying, Albert, is very true. But we need to let people know why this time is different than any other time. And you got to remember in the Old Testament, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, these people were very outspoken. John the Baptist, they were very outspoken concerning the governance of the leaders over the people and their wickedness. So we can't really ignore what they're doing and say, well, we're just going to read John 3:16 and throw a little bit of stuff in there about the Antichrist. No, why is it important that we understand this? How do we know this time is different than any other time in the history of the United States or in, for that matter, the history of man, where we see the whole world moving towards a one world order? So I really believe that we need to, first of all, be watchmen on the wall. We need to let people know that there are some real, real serious things. Now, again, the American news media, totally rotten. Just rotten like there's nothing I know anything more despicable than the American. It is not news, everyone. When you say, well, did you see the news tonight? That is not news. That is nothing more than advocacy journalism for their desired outcome. It has nothing to do with news. They will leave facts out. They will distort truth. They will do whatever they need to do to bring you to a conclusion that everything that's going on in Washington is red roses and great for America, when in fact they're selling us out faster than any other group of people I believe that I've ever seen in my short existence on this earth, where they literally call evil good and good evil. But we need to let people know that this is why. We had a guy call up about a month ago, and he says, why do you always kind of make people think that this is kind of like the end of the world? Like, aren't you playing people? Aren't you kind of going for sensationalism? I said, oh, no. I said, no, you know, you're failing to interpret the data at hand. We just watched China send off a 5 times the speed of sound super missile. They sent one off a while ago. It didn't somehow catch our attention. But this one, with exact precision, went exactly where they wanted it to go. Now, why is that important? Because man has always used every weapon he's ever invented. Now, I watched a thing today where in China, out in one of their deserts they have there, they have something that looks like the Atlantic Ocean with pictures, with mock-up. Now, this is in the desert, mind you, but they're mock-up boats like our aircraft carriers getting ready for an attack. Friends, I saw it. I think I pulled that off of Google News, as a matter of fact. Now, I thought that's interesting because, again, we've talked about it many times. America's not in biblical prophecy. Well, here's a thought for everyone. Maybe we're just not here. You know, if with this super missile, which our military said we can't defend America against it, we didn't even know this was coming. They're too busy with their fake dossiers trying to impeach Trump in his first couple of months of office, which was all fake. Well, why weren't you doing the stories on this super weapon that our military says they can't even protect America from? And they said that the heightening tensions between America concerning and China concerning Taiwan and the rest of Micronesia that Japan wanted so bad in the Second World War, they wanted to take New Zealand and Australia as well. And by the way, there is nothing other than the United States at this point, as weak and as goofed up as it is, could stop an invasion of Australia or New Zealand. Australia and New Zealand, they don't have a military that would rival anything compared to China. And once China gets it in their blood to be on the advance, to expand their borders, man, I'll tell you, we're going to have a world we don't recognize. But what does the Bible say? You're going to get a world you don't recognize. So I don't think it's wrong to let people know how weak America is becoming, what a setting duck we are against a 5 times supersonic missile, 5 times the speed of sound supersonic missile. We can't defend ourselves from. And I think, yeah, you know, I tell people, if you're waiting to accept Christ as your Savior, when you look at the data at hand, today, the Bible says, is the appointed day of salvation. I believe that's why it is so absolute important that we understand where we're at. And what prophet in the Old Testament wasn't standing up and saying, you, Ahab, Jezebel, you are wicked kings and queens. You, Jeremiah, would say to the government of Israel, you are wicked in your administration of justice. John the Baptist, Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Who wasn't in the Bible, Old Testament or New, that didn't have something? Even Jesus himself said concerning Herod, that old fox. Now listen, we see different cartoons now, and the fox is a cute little fuzzy red-tailed dude, you know, on Zootopia. But foxes in Herod's day were not good. Jesus said it was the little foxes that spoiled the vineyards. It was those guys that came in and ruined up everything. Jesus called him that old fox. So when we realize that everybody everywhere needs to really be aware of the times we're in a different time than ever before in history. We're on the verge of a one world order, a complete global collapse of all currencies, not just the American dollar. I believe this is why we have to bring in relevant news or current events as to speak to people why they need Jesus. Otherwise, they can just stay in their little circle of friends. They don't care. It's, you know, all things remain as they are, completely in the darkness. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, just we lost Albert, I do believe. But Albert, yeah. You know, you're wondering about us, or preachers speaking to the ills of the day, the sins of the day. Just Mike, it's hard to improve on everything Mike has said, but just one thing for sure. Any preacher of the word is, Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Now that means preach the word, whether it's good times or bad, whether you're received or rejected, whether you're loved or you're hated, preach the word. And I believe that part of every preacher's calling is to address the sins of his generation, because that's one way that we are salt and that we are light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. Well, how are we going to be light? How are we ever going to be salt if we don't stand up and say something? And so, because the truth is in the church. Jesus said it was the church that would raid the gates of hell, and the gates of hell would not be able to stand against it. Well, how do we, does the church raid the gates of hell or crash the gates of hell? Well, it's by the truth of the word of God. So yes, we're to preach the gospel. Yes, we're to reach out to the nation with evangelistically, but we're also to say, you know what? Killing babies in the womb or out of the womb is murder. And you can go down the laundry list of other sins that our nation is involved in. So I hope that helps, Albert, even though we lost you.
Albert, I hope that helps. And again, we must be about our Father's business. But, you know, again, I think when we explain how relevant Christianity is, how Jesus is the only solution for a lost, dying world, and sometimes people have to be reminded how lost and how dying it really is. Hope that helps. Let's go to Jennifer, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hello?
Jennifer, are you there?
Yes.
How may we help?
So I'm curious, is there a difference between Lutheran religion and Christianity?
Okay, Jeff.
Well, okay, Lutheranism came, of course, from Martin Luther. Lutheranism really began in the 17th century, and it's basically a Christian denomination that came about during the Reformation because of Martin Luther's stand against so many of the erroneous practices of the Catholic Church. And you know, Lutheranism, you can't say that it's not Christian. It is. My only concern about present-day Lutheranism is the many ways they have been compromising with the spirit of the world in the whole same-sex marriage issue, the homosexuality issue. I don't know where they stand on the gender stuff, but I know that they've been making some moves that have certainly not given me a warm fuzzy. But the way they were when they were birthed under the teaching of Martin Luther, they were solid, had pretty much a solid doctrine. And so if you want to go back to Lutheranism as it was birthed, I think it's, you can say it's a Christian denomination, like several others.
Amen. So, yeah, I hope that answers it for you.
Okay, yeah, we've been, we have to find a new home, a new church home. And so my husband and I have gone to a couple of churches, but there's a Lutheran church right up the road from us. And I was just curious.
I would go to them. I would go to them, Jennifer, and I would say, I would go straight to the minister, ask for a meeting with the minister, And just ask him straight up, do you believe the Bible is the word of God? All of it. That's the acid test. That's the litmus test. Ask him, do you believe the Bible is the word of God per 2 Timothy 3:16, which says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, breathed out by God, that it is inerrant in its original manuscripts. And so do you believe that? And if he says, oh, yes, oh, yeah, we're with you there. We totally believe the Bible. All of it is the word of God. We believe God created everything. And from Genesis to Revelation, we believe the Bible is God's word. Then you're on good ground there.
Yeah, you need to ask him. And you also need to ask him, do you believe you have to repent of your sins, or everybody's God's children, no matter if you're shacked up, no matter what sin you're into, God just kind of winks at it, puts his real thick, you know, sunglasses on and smiles at all the wickedness. Because I have talked to Lutherans that I think are as right on as anybody that I have ever met. And I have talked to Lutherans that are, you know, all paths lead to God. If you're a Buddhist or whatever, completely denying what Jesus said in John 14:6, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In that verse, Jesus categorically said, all other religions are false. Jesus said that. I think it's really important. John 14:6. So you want to find out where they're at with a lot of things. And certainly we're here for you to help you. If you go there and they say, well, he said this and said this, you got to be careful of just the name brand on the door, because I have met, again, Methodists, love Jesus, on fire for God. And I have talked to Methodist pastors that I don't even think are born again. So you got to be real careful, because it isn't the name brand on the door. It's the person's heart in the pulpit as he ministers the word of God. May or may not reflect anything concerning their denomination. And so it's like, a hamburger is a hamburger. Well, I've had really good hamburgers and I've had really bad hamburgers. And, but they all wear the same name. Well, this is one of the dangers oftentimes in denominationalism. You run into the same problem. Hope that helps.
It helps a whole lot.
Jennifer, stay on line. Let me send you a couple of DVDs. I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. That covers the basic fundamentals of what church, what Christianity is. I'll send it to you, and then you can kind of look it over. You can even hand that to the pastor. Hey, look this over. Tell me if you agree with it or disagree with it. And that's going to help a lot. Or ask the pastor of the in your town. Just say, hey, you ever heard CSN radio? Do you like it? If he goes, oh, man, I listen to it every day, it's great, well, it's probably going to be good. On the other hand, if he goes, oh, no, I believe there's many paths to God. I'm cool. You're cool. Cuckoo, ca-choo. Let's all groove together. Run with all speed. So hope that helps.
It does. Thank you very much.
Stay on line, Jennifer. We'll get you taken care of. And with that, we will go to James, Idaho. Hi, welcome. We've only got about a minute.
Yeah, hi. My question is, does Samson break the Nazarite vow as outlined in Numbers 6:6 by eating the honey out of the dead lion and touching the jawbone of the dead donkey?
Okay, Jeff.
Yes, he did. And that's one of the problems with Samson. He had this incredible anointing of strength on his life, but he had taken a Nazarite vow. And one of the parts of that Nazarite vow was that you would not touch a dead body. But we notice, and you should not have anything to do with pagan women. And so we see Samson over and over again in his sort of slide down into his final demise, breaking that vow, not having a real sense of respect for the sacred or for what he had vowed to God. And that touching the dead body of the lion and the donkey was just part and parcel of his really lack of honoring his vow. And it finally brought him to a terrible, really a sad end. I know he brought the whole Colosseum down on all of the Philistines and, you know, kind of went out with a bang, but it was not God's highest for him to be blind, walking in a circle, grinding at the mill, and mocked by the Philistine people. God had mercy at the end, but he didn't honor his vow, and that's what brought him down. So, yes, James, you're right about that.
Hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
James, stay online if you like. Send you out a couple books, couple of DVDs. And by the way, this is a something everybody doesn't quite get. Who cut Samson's hair? It wasn't Delilah. No, when he fell asleep on her lap, she called for the strong men to come in and cut his hair. Few people know that. It's interesting. We're all out of time, everyone. Bill, Peggy, Leslie, Jim, please call us back. We'll do our very best to put you on first thing tomorrow. No waiting. Jeff, myself will be with you, and so we look forward to being back with you. Jeff, thanks for being on the program, and for all of you, God bless you.
To find out about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.